Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. So glad you could join us for our 845th day together in the Word of God as we come now to Job 42, the last chapter of this wonderful book. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this book of Job. It's been a blessing and a challenge to us over these last several weeks. Would you please drive home the truth of Job 42 and all of this book to our hearts that we might live differently in response to what your word has taught us and what your spirit has impressed upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are here in Job 42. Then Job answered. He answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. After the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept his prayer not to deal with you according to your folly. For you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did what the Lord had told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all his brothers and sisters, and all who had known him before, and ate bread with him in his house, and they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him, and each of them gave him a piece of money and a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of his first daughter Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-hapuch. And in all the land there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons 4 generations. And Job died an old man and full of days. This conclusion to Job is really quite beautiful. What Job says here is exactly right. Finally. You know, Job knew a lot about God, and God even commends him because compared to his friends, he was saying things that were more right about God than what his friends had said. And here at the end, he finally says what is absolutely true and right about God. So let's look at this. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. God is omnipotent and sovereign. Omnipotent means he's all-powerful. No one can oppose his power or his strength, and he is sovereign. He rules. He's the ruler. He's the sovereign. He's the king. He's a king with omnipotence. That means he can do anything he wants to do, and because he rules, there's no purpose of his that can be thwarted. That means that we have to accept everything that comes into our lives and into the world as being one way or another the will of God. It may not be his perfect will. It may not be his prescribed will. But it may be his permissive will, and he always has a good reason for it. It's always in wisdom, always in love, but he can do all things, and no purpose of his can be thwarted. And then Job starts repeating what God had challenged him with earlier. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? God was absolutely right to say that about Job. He said, "Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." Job had a theoretical knowledge of God. He had a theology. He's now seen a theophany. He had knowledge about God. Now he's seen an appearance of God. And he realized that his knowledge of God was just not accurate at all. It would be like looking at pictures of lions in children's storybooks and thinking that you understand lions because you've seen cute little cartoon drawings of them, and they may be lions. They may even have some of the same true attributes of lions, the same colors, the same shape, the same basic anatomy being depicted. But when you actually see a lion in real life, you realize, wait a minute, all my storybook knowledge did not prepare me for this encounter. That's where Job is. And then he repeats what God said to him again in verse 4. "Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me." And he says again, "I had heard of you. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." How can we have this kind of experience? We can't see God with our physical eyes, but we see him with the eyes of faith. Believing is seeing, biblically speaking. If you believe the word of God and you trust, so belief, biblical belief, is not merely intellectual assent. It's not merely, yes, I agree that there is a God, and I agree that he is the way that he is described in the Bible. So yes, I believe in the God of the Bible. It's a matter of intellectual assent. It's a matter of trust, which requires knowledge and intellectual assent, but it requires also a heart commitment. And when you trust God, you will see God's hand at work in your life by faith. Not always will you understand what he's doing. Not always will you see very clearly his will and his purposes, but you will see God with eyes of faith. And the difference between knowing about God and knowing God, the difference between knowledge of God in the abstract, in the hearing of the ear, and knowledge of God by faith, is how you view yourself, at least in part. Because you can look at a list of attributes of God on a piece of paper and you can say, okay, I'm wise. I've got a very good reputation among all my friends for being wise. I'm righteous. I don't do bad things. I don't steal from anybody. I don't lie to people. I don't cheat people. I'm not out to murder anybody, right? Okay, I have integrity. I have uprightness. But you see God. You see God. It's a different thing altogether. It's like comparing shades of white that are really all versions of off-white or neutrals, and then you get the actual pure white, and you realize, I didn't know what white was. I get this, to be honest with you, I get this when I go to the dentist, right? I have to go back to the dentist and, you know, I've had to have a crown made recently. I've had a lot of dental work done. But you think of your teeth as being white. You brush them, you look at them in the morning, you think, I got white teeth. Then you realize when you go to the dentist and they actually make you a crown or a filling or something like that, and they're like putting you on sort of the color spectrum of teeth possibilities, and you're like, oh, that's what color my teeth really are? My teeth really aren't white at all. It's that comparison, right? And so God is absolute purity, absolute light, with no shadow, with no darkness at all, as 1 John chapter 1 says. Compared to that, all of us should despise ourselves because we're so shot through with filth. Even a man as righteous and upright as Job was among his generation, the most righteous and upright man on the face of the earth within his generation, is so filthy compared to the transcendent, splendid, pure righteousness of God, that he despises himself and repents in dust and ashes. And that's the right response. Job's response here is right. God is too wonderful and too holy. Well, then we have this epilogue. Well, so God speaks to Job's friends, not to Elihu, interestingly enough. I think by the end of Elihu's speech, that last chapter before God speaks at chapter 37, I think Elihu has gotten it. And I think chapter 37, when we were in that chapter, we saw this sounds really good. This sounds like he's finally gotten it. I think there was some immaturity and some presumption in Elihu in the first few chapters of the speech. But by the time he gets to where God interrupts him, I think he's arrived at the truth. And so Elihu's not rebuked here. But Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar are. They were wrong. They didn't speak about God what was right as Job had. Why? Because they only had this abstract theoretical knowledge, and a very reductionistic abstract theoretical knowledge at that. Very flat, very dualistic, very simplistic. And that's not God. That's not God at all. That's not the God of Leviathan. That's not the God of Behemoth. That's not the God of the storm. The God who reigns over and has created these great and terrible things in creation is not a simplistic, reductionistic God. And so they need to repent. And they ask Job to pray for them. And Job does pray for them. And the Lord accepts Job's prayer. And now what's interesting is, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, because here Job is becoming for us a type of Christ, that is, a foreshadowing or an anticipation of Christ. Job, declared to be righteous, again, not as righteous as God, not as righteous as Jesus, but righteous among his generation. When confronted, he worships, he prays for his friends, and when he prays for his friends, he's given this fortune. He's given this kingdom. Jesus, when he laid down his life for his friends, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. When Jesus laid down his life for his friends and now lives to intercede for his friends, he's given a kingdom. He's given glory. He's given honor. And what is Job given? He's given double. All of his friends and family members come. They all give him a piece of money and a ring of gold so he can get restarted again. And when he gets restarted, he ends up with twice as much as he had before. And he lives twice as long as a normal person. Normal person, 70 years, maybe 80. He lives 140. And beautiful daughters. And I love this in scripture. He's got 7 sons and 3 daughters. His daughters beautiful and wonderful. And he gives all of them an equal inheritance. Or he gives them all an inheritance. Maybe that the firstborn still gets a double portion, but they all get an inheritance, including the daughters. So that shows us, I think, the heart of God about the equality between men and women as well. So a great conclusion to this great book. And I don't know what you learned from it, but for me, humility, reverence, patience, not presuming so quickly that I know more than I do, not getting caught up or impressed with my own wisdom, looking to the Lord, waiting on the Lord, trusting the Lord, speaking humbly about the Lord, and worshiping the Lord. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we are so quick to judge, so quick to presume, so quick to think we know more than we do. May this book of Job change that in us, that we would stop doing that. We live in a very hyper-judgmental age. People jump to conclusions and make snap judgments in 10 seconds on Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever, texting messages or little sound bites on the news. Help us not to get caught up into that nonsense. It is absolutely antithetical to biblical Christianity. Help us not to buy into it or give over to it. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to walk with humility and gratitude, and help us to treat others with love and patience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Job 42 and for the whole book of Job. Tomorrow we're going to be back in the Psalms. We're going to pick up with 3 more Psalms in the Songs of Ascents. Hope you can join me for that, and I hope you do have a blessed day in the Lord.